You are listening to 89.1 WEMU. It is a Tuesday, and that means it's Creative Impact. It's a weekly series focused on the impact of the arts and creative sector on our lives and our community. It is comprised of some of the most creative individuals anywhere in the country, and they live right here among us. And today we're going to introduce you to another. My co-host and content partner for Creative Impact is Deb Pollack. She is the president and CEO of the Arts Alliance, and good to see you again, Deb.
David, it's always a pleasure to be in the studio, and especially with the creative people that we bring to sit at the table with us. Today, we have the pleasure of welcoming one of, I think, Ann Arbor's, Washtenaw County's most versatile artists, who does just about everything. We get to welcome John Katowski, who's had a really successful career and from all sorts of disciplines, from theater to the visual arts. So welcome to the studio, John.
Thank you for coming in, John. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I'm really excited to have this conversation for so many reasons. You've got so many talents. I've admired your work for years. And you're an artist, a designer, a printmaker. You've done installation work. You're a costume designer, mask making. You've fabriced. I mean, you've done so many things. The list goes on.
That's
and
true.
On. And you've woven this career together in our community.
Yeah.
It's not always easy, but you've made it work. Tell us a little bit about how you've done that.
Well, you know, I think I love making stuff. I mean, I think that's sort of the, you know, through line of all this. So I like working with my hands. I think I've just had to keep reinventing myself, you know, figuring out different ways to both earn an income, but also to have a continuous studio practice.
When did you know that art was going to be your calling?
I was pretty young when I knew art was going to be my calling. I was a little theater boy by the time I was five. So I actually went to theater school to become an actor. But after a few years, it became very obvious to me and I think a few of my teachers that I would be a much better designer.
So
I switched my major in the middle of school. And it was a much better fit for me.
That doesn't always happen. I mean, you know, a lot of people just see being on stage as the thing. So getting backstage, getting into the design side, how did that transition happen?
You know, when I went to theater school, I got put on a costume crew. And I grew up with a mom who sewed, and I just had a facility for it. My mom never taught me how to sew, but I could sew. And so the costume design professor said, hey, why don't you come and take a costume class? You know, you can just audit it. So I took a year of costume design classes, and when I just, you know, the end of the second year, I decided that it wasn't a fit for me, and so had they. I asked her if I could switch my major to design, and she said, absolutely, and they took me into the program as a costume design.
You know, there are a lot of kids out there who are finding their artistic selves at young age, in elementary school, middle school, through high school, and as they move on into college, and a lot of the parents worry about the futures of their children who want to study the visual arts, theater, or another art form. Is there a bit of advice that you would give them, John, in making your way to a living that sustains you?
You know, the first thing, David, is you have to want to do it. I mean, because it is hard. And, you know, my income's erratic. I can't always count on what's coming in, right? So you don't know. So you have to be frugal. And we're very frugal, my husband and I, just because I've had to be throughout my life. But, you know, I don't care about that things that much. I mean, I love stuff. But, you know, if I have to choose, I'd rather make work.
Your work has been seen all over. I love your work.
Thanks,
you know,
Deb.
Your use of color and image and symbolism is really beautifully executed. And one can look at that work on their own without knowing your story and who you are and make their own, interpret it their own. But there's always a story, and you put so much of yourself into it. And your work is personal, and it carries a social message.
Yeah.
One of those pieces or one of those series has gotten a lot of praise recently, and people may be aware of your Pulse nightclub, 49 Elegies, which was awarded the Art Prize 2D award two years ago. Tell us about that. That was a very personal piece.
You know, I made that piece in response to the massacre at the Pulse nightclub 3 years ago now, partly just really for myself. I was just so overwhelmed with sadness and grief, and I was quite angry about it as well. And I decided, you know, initially I thought, well, I'll eulogize these people, but, you know, it became quickly apparent I didn't know them, and I didn't feel like I could do that justice. So I decided to do an elegy form and to, you know, create a visual narrative or a visual poem that sort of lets you into that story, grieves what was lost.
And ensures we'll never forget.
Yeah, exactly, as a memorial. And to give hope to the survivors, because that's who will see the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I did it for me just because I couldn't find words to express what I was feeling. And I thought, well, here's the perfect opportunity to take something into my studio and work through it.
It certainly has resonated with others.
It's been amazing. And one of the great things about Art Prize was I was actually able to stand in the gallery. It was displayed at the Grand Rapids Art Museum, and they displayed it really beautifully. And I was able to spend a couple of afternoons, and, you know, they get 10,000 people a day through the museum, and I talked to thousands of people. And the opportunity as an artist to stand there and have people be your art, it's rare. You know, mm-hmm. you get to do that in an opening.
It can also be scary.
Yeah, but the people were just beautiful about it. And so many people wanted to talk to me, and people were weeping in front of them. Everybody wanted to talk about gun violence. It was a really incredible, really moving experience. It opened in May, and then in May, and it's up until the end of September. So it's up at the Orange County Historical Center, History Center.
So a lot of your work deals with LGBTQ issues and those sorts of things. And some could say that you have a social activist or political side to it. Do you purposely create work that does carries those messages?
You know, I don't always purposely do it, Deb, but I find for me to engage in my studio, it has to be something that matters to me. It has to be something important to me. It has to be something I'm kind of working out in my own life. And often that stuff is political in the end, right? That whole idea that the personal is political. But, you know, like I said about the Pulse nightclub, I didn't feel like that was a political piece. But by the time I finished it, it is a political piece because of the subject matter about gun violence and queerness, homophobia. I think I have to have that kind of investment to make something.
Art has been part of political and social activism forever.
Yes.
Do you take any inspiration from any particular socially active artist over time, or is this something that is just coming out of you?
You know, it's something I sort of committed to when I was doing the art fair circuit. I was meeting a lot of gay artists, queer artists, but there was no art about us in any of the art fairs I went to.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, I could make some of that. I mean, you know, it might not sell, right? Maybe you have a 1 in 10 chance, right?
Right.
But two things happened when I started making that work is I started to get into all the fairs I applied for because they want diversity, right? But then it actually started to sell. Not a lot, but, you know, the best part was a lot of conversations with people about LGBTQ stuff because I was addressing queer marriage and don't ask, don't tell and what it means to be a family. And so I felt like by displaying the work, I was able to talk to people about the work, and that in itself is kind of a form of activism.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair with my co-host Deb Pollack on Creative Impact, and our guest is John Gutowski, an accomplished artist living and working in our community whose work is being appreciated, admired throughout the country. And John, have you ever felt particularly vulnerable in these turbulent political times or experienced any backlash when you've decided to create or exhibit work on these subjects?
You know, David, I can't say that I've experienced a lot of backlash, but what I do notice is that my own fear can come up sometimes. There is a piece or two I decided not to post online. I felt that they would be too, people would be too upset about them. It was stuff around MAGA hats and the Ku Klux Klan, and Facebook has already been taking off work like that other artists have made, and I just thought, I don't know that I want to get into this online with this particular piece. So it's more that I find I'm editing myself, or I'm thinking, do I need to edit myself? And that's what's different.
Now, you don't only do social commentary. You are deeply involved with an artistic installation at Rutgers University with Walt Whitman.
That's right. It's the 200th anniversary of Walt Whitman's birth, and there's a multi-state celebration, mostly places where Walt lived, and Walt spent the last, I think, 30 or so years of his life in Camden. And I was invited to be in a show there on the Rutgers campus in celebration of his birthday. It's contemporary artists who are inspired by poetry of Walt Whitman. So I have 6 assemblages in that. And that show is up until December. It's up for quite a long time. It opened on his birthday in May.
And he's a particular favorite of yours, obviously.
I just think for the time we live in right now, he was so hopeful about America. He was so hopeful about men and women, if we would just love each other and be affectionate, what kind of world we would live in. And I think that's just a message that we need to hear again right now. And, you know, he was unabashedly queer in his writing. It's what, you know, initially got him people to asked for his books to be banned and burned when they were first came out. So he's sort of a radical in his own way. I just love his writing. It's beautiful.
So as our time together winds down, do you, through your art, remain as optimistic and hopeful as Whitman did in his?
Great question.
That is a great question. You know, David, I do most days. I mean, I certainly have days where the top of my head wants to blow off as I hear the news. But, you know, I know so many good people working so hard to make what's happening better, you know, and I just have to believe that we're better than what's happening right now. And to just keep going, to keep making the work I'm making and try to get people to wake up and to talk about what's happening, and also to make work that takes this historical moment and makes it into something that can be remembered.
John, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for helping to stimulate the conversation. Really appreciate you being
here. Thank you for
here.
Having me.
That is John Gatoski, an accomplished artist living and working in our community, finding success and showing his artwork across the country, some of which has a deep and meaningful message. You'll find some of that artwork displayed on our website at WEMU.org, and we will create all the connections to connect you to John's works. Deb Pollack, thank you so much for your time and your efforts on behalf of Creative Impact, and we'll see you next week.
We'll do it again next week, David. Thank you.
Deb is president and CEO of the Arts Alliance, which serves as our content partner for Creative Impact. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.